Hello and welcome to NJBiz Conversations. I'm your host, Jeff Kanaj. My guest today is Andy Aronson. He is the CEO of the Healthcare Association of New Jersey, which represents nursing homes and long-term care facilities. Andy, welcome.
Thank you, Jeff. Good to be here.
Thanks for joining me. I appreciate you taking the time. Now, I wanted to talk about how the industry has changed and is likely to evolve. But first, I'm really interested in getting a sort of an overview of you, a check-in, as it were, about the industry as a whole. The pandemic hit nursing homes and long-term care facilities early, and it hit them hard. Most of New Jerseyans consider the pandemic to be over now. Are you in that situation now? Or what can you tell us about what it's like to run one of these facilities or work in one of these facilities in this post-pandemic era?
Yeah, well, the great news is that providers now and nursing homes now have treatments for COVID. So we have the vaccines, we have treatments. Residents do very well. So as far as the pandemic being over, there are still cases of COVID, but what we see is that those cases are treated. They're seen by testing. They're treated very well. And even people that live in nursing homes that you know, have COVID and test positive with COVID end up doing very well. So from the standpoint of dealing with COVID and dealing with the pandemic, we're at a place where people in the nursing home are well cared for and they're very safe.
Okay.
So that's good.
Yes.
We still deal with some of the effects of COVID. We lost a lot of workforce during COVID. We lost a lot of staffing. In all other sectors of the healthcare economy, really staffing has come back to pre-pandemic levels. Nursing homes are still lower. We still have a more severe staffing shortage than some other places within the healthcare economy. So there are still some lasting effects, but generally the pandemic is, you know, has passed us.
Okay. So would you say, I mean, most people like the goal was to always get back to normal. Is that where you are? I mean, put the staffing issue aside, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, if someone wanted to go visit somebody in one of these facilities, everything is sort of at pre-pandemic as a sort of a pre-pandemic situation.
Yeah, I think from a resident standpoint, I think from a visitor standpoint, from a family standpoint, you're back to normal, for lack of a better term. The facilities themselves, as I said, there are still some remnants of COVID. You know, we still have some additional regulatory scrutiny. We still have some additional, the penalties are much more severe than they were before COVID for things that are found. You know, so there are still operational issues that we still deal with that linger from COVID. But from a family standpoint or from a resident standpoint, I think the experience is very much back to normal. Visitation is wide open. Activities are there, group dining, you know, all of those socialization, all of those things are back to the way they were pre-pandemic.
Okay. Well, that certainly is good news.
Yeah.
Now, I wanted to talk. You mentioned the some of the changes that were implemented in the wake of the pandemic and right after it, right after it hit. The one thing I wanted to talk about to start with is the staffing levels. That's an issue throughout health. I mean, you said throughout the rest of the healthcare industry, those levels have come back, but it's still difficult for a lot of facilities, hospitals, physician practices to fill the positions that they need. Is that what you're finding, number one? And number two, is it part of that overall difficulty that the healthcare industry is having, finding particularly nurses, or do you think it's something specific about your industry in particular?
I think it's both. So I think it's overall healthcare industry. I think there has been a staffing shortage looming in the healthcare industry for a long time, right? And it's been getting worse. So even pre-pandemic, we were dealing with staffing shortages. I think what we saw during the pandemic was we lost a lot of workforce. Much of the workforce in the nursing home industry were older, and many of those people decided just to you know, retire and stop. So we lost a lot of workforce during the pandemic. What we've also seen is an incredible increase in the rates that are paid to that workforce. So whether it be in nursing homes, RNs or LPNs or CNAs, their salaries have gone up very significantly since the beginning of the pandemic.
Okay.
Some of the other sectors within the healthcare economy can make up for that by charging more, right? We can simply charge patients more. We can negotiate new insurance contracts. Because nursing homes are so reliant upon government payers, where they're funding Medicare and Medicaid, mm-hmm. we don't have that ability to just charge more or to say to the government, to the Medicaid program or the Medicare program, you know, our costs are up 50%. We need a 50% increase in our rates. It doesn't work that way. So, Yes, the overall economy, the overall healthcare sector has had the issue. Nursing homes are hit particularly hard because of our payer source and because of where the money comes from. Our only recourse is to really go to those government agencies and seek increases in our rates and our funding. And that's often slower than the market would react if it wasn't a government payer.
Okay. All right. Now, I know the health department is working on some regulations involving staffing ratios. I saw you quoted in some media outlets talking about those and about how difficult it was that you would like to meet those proposed regulations, but you just can't. You can't find the workers. Is that's what you're talking about now?
Yeah, I think one myth we need to talk about and just put it right out there. Every nursing home would love to hire more people, right? We would all love more staff. You'd all love, we'd like to take care of patients one-on-one, right? Everybody would like to have more staffing. The staffing doesn't exist. So you deal within the realms of reality where how many workers can you hire and how much can you afford to do, right? I mean, we have both of those limitations. I think just about every nursing home that's part of our association that I speak to is constantly advertising for more staff. They pay bonuses. They give benefits. They you know, try to give, you know, if any of the existing staff refers a friend to come in, you know, they get bonuses. You know, you try to be creative and do everything you can to get staff in the door. Despite those efforts, the staffing ratios, which were really put into effect in 2020, mm-hmm. Have proven impossible to meet for mm-hmm. the vast majority of facilities in the state. So what the Department of Health did recently was just enact some regulations that enact the statute that went into place in 2020. Right. But the reality is those staffing ratios have not helped staffing. They haven't increased staffing. They haven't created more staffing because the problem isn't that the nursing homes don't want to hire. The problem is that the people just don't exist.
Okay. Right. You can't just tweak the numbers and expect everything is going to turn out the way you want it.
Exactly. And we're dealing with, you know, on the federal level right now, there's a lot of talk about a federal staffing minimum. And it's the same issue, right? Somebody can come out with a staffing minimum and say, hey, let's everybody hire, you know, 50 additional CNAs in their facility. But if the people don't exist to hire, you're not changing anything. And I think that's where we are with our CNA staffing ratio in New Jersey and where we're talking about with new staffing minimums from the federal government.
Okay. Now, you mentioned Medicare and Medicaid. My understanding was that there was some changes to the reimbursement rates mm-hmm. after the pandemic. Did that help at all?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Our rates have gone up. Our Medicaid rates in the state have gone up. About 70% of nursing home care is paid for through Medicaid, which is a state-by-state right. program. New Jersey has increased its Medicaid rates for nursing homes, and of course, we're thankful for that. Medicare has also increased its rates for nursing homes through the pandemic and recently. The increases haven't kept pace with the increases in costs, you know, and that's a constant discussion we have. But, you know, we're working on it. And we, you know, it's a constant dialogue with the right. state, with the federal government, and trying to you know, keep pace with cost and reimbursement levels.
Okay. Now, I'm guessing those were kind of the biggest changes to come out of the pandemic. Was there anything else that your industry is dealing with from what came out of Trenton in particular in the wake of the pandemic? I mean, how are those changes working? Have you been able to deal with those to your satisfaction or to your members' satisfaction?
Yeah, well, it's difficult because what the pandemic did was it created an increased focus on infection prevention and control, right?
Right.
That was the focus during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. But you also have to remember a nursing home, particularly somebody's home. Right. It's a social environment right. where people come and go and people live their lives. So, you know, if I'm a resident of a nursing home, my family comes to visit me. You know, I want that visit to be a social event. So where we focus on infection control, we also have to remember we're dealing in people's homes and there's a quality of life aspect to it. And that balance is really, really hard, in all honesty. We're still dealing with the remnants of focus on infection control, right? So facilities are still being inspected and penalized and other things based upon, you know, what we'll call breaches in infection control very often in a very severe way that wasn't in place before
right.
the pandemic, right? So it's kind of the world has changed a little bit. And I think we're still going to have to work our way through that a lot because I don't think what we're currently seeing with the level of we call them deficiencies in nursing home. All that means is, you know, the state inspects and finds that something wasn't done in accordance with the regulation. So with the level of deficiencies and the level of penalties based upon those deficiencies, I don't think that is sustainable long-term right now.
Okay.
And I just think it has to be rebalanced a little bit to get back to understanding there's quality of life, there's quality of care. We have to get back to the right balance.
Right. I mean, these places aren't hospitals where you can just mandate certain things and
well,
stop people from moving around and doing what they're...
Exactly. Even within a hospital, right? An emergency room or an operating room is certainly a different environment than a patient room or an emergency room, right? You know, it's complicated. And, you know, the fact that, you know, somebody might walk into a nursing home and say, you know, that CNA washed their hands for 15 seconds instead of 20 that's mandated, you know, that's going to be called an immediate jeopardy level deficiency. And we're going to issue a fine based upon that. It makes it complicated to operate these facilities.
Okay. Now, one of the other things that came out of Trenton in the immediate aftermath of the pandemic was a task force appointed by the governor to study the industry and make recommendations for improvements, I guess.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to that?
Interesting.
Is that still working? What's going on?
So the task force met many times. They're working on their final report. It's not out yet. I mean, we've been told for a long time that imminently there will be a report that comes out. But we haven't seen one yet. So
okay.
I don't know what's going to come out in it.
All right. Yes. So you don't have any sense for what those discussions have been like and are they, I mean, trying to get a sense for whether that is a cause for concern about what's.
So, you know, we spoke with the task force, obviously we presented to the task force. So I have some idea about what was discussed within that task force, but I don't know what the recommendations are going to be and what comes out. You know, what I said to the task force and what I say to everybody today, you know, we're all advocates for the patients in long-term care. We're all advocates for the elderly. And we believe the elderly should be prioritized and have a great quality of care and quality of life. Whatever recommendations we get to improve the care for seniors and for the elderly in our communities, we just have to fund them. You know, so we can make great recommendations as to how we can make life better for seniors. And that's fantastic. And we'll all be on board with that. But the funding has to follow it. And whatever recommendations you make, if you can't fund the recommendations, then they really don't improve anything.
Okay. Well, and that leads me to the next question, which was beyond the task force, there's been a lot of talk in Trenton in the legislature about changes that might be made. Is that the one thing that you would really like to see is that funding mechanism? If the Senate and Assembly decide that they want to make some changes to the industry, that they're the ones that are going to fix the problem or keep people safe. Is that what you're most concerned about? Is that they include the funding when they
absolutely bills? Yeah. And it goes back to, you know, we were talking about staffing, right? You want to raise staffing and facilities. You want to give nursing homes the ability to really go out and compete for the best staff and you know, with hospitals and some other providers. You have to provide the funding for them to do it. You know, I'm an advocate, right, for senior care.
Right.
And I think it's a great priority for the legislature. I think it's a great priority for the state. I think it's a great priority for the spending in our state budget. Let's take care of our seniors in the way they deserve to be taken care of. But you can't mandate without understanding that there's funding that goes along with that. And as long as the funding is provided, I think we're all on the same page as far as what we want. But you have to make sure the funding is a part of it.
Okay. So is that your main priority? I mean, you said you're an advocate. Is that your main priority now in terms of dealing with the legislature's funding? Or are there other things going on that you're concerned about? Other challenges?
Well, we always talk about quality, right? Okay. We always want to make sure that the quality of care is as good as it can possibly be. You know, so we have quality on one hand. We want to make sure there's access to care, right? We don't want facilities closing down. We don't want any portion of our population to find, you know, nursing home care or assisted living care to be inaccessible. So we worry about quality, we worry about access, and we worry about the funding for those things.
Okay.
So, yeah, right. Those are the three prongs.
Okay. Now, I mentioned how difficult the pandemic was. There was a lot of media coverage of the industry. Are you concerned that your industry took a real reputational hit from the pandemic, and have you recovered from that, or where do you think you stand in terms of public perception at this point?
Yeah, that's a great question, and thanks for having me on, right, to talk about these things, because this is what we have to do. We have to talk about this, right? I think the further we get away from the pandemic and the more we can look at it factually and really look at it in a historical context, we get a better sense of what happened and why it happened and how it happened. And I think during the time, there was a lot of anger, right? And there was a lot of emotion and there were a lot of people saying, gosh, you know, people have died in nursing homes. Someone must be doing something wrong. Like, you should be able to stop the spread of COVID in nursing homes if you just do things right. Well, I think we learned that that's not true, right? Yeah. You know, 2 years into the pandemic, after vaccines came out, after treatments came out, we still saw cases spreading in our society. And we still realized this wasn't a situation where you could just stop the spread. You know, if you go back to the beginning, people, you know, if you wear masks and you social distance, we'll stop the spread of COVID. Well, that wasn't true, right? It just didn't turn out that way. And the fact of the matter, as we look back at it, nursing homes didn't do anything wrong. You know, COVID didn't spread in nursing homes because nursing homes were doing something wrong. Nursing homes were just a mirror of the population, right? What was going on in the communities was also going on in nursing homes. And nursing homes, the people who were working in those facilities were working very well and working heroically to try to take care of their residents as best they could. And I think looking back on it now with some perspective and with some of the anger gone, I think we can say, you know, nursing homes really did a very, very good job taking care of people. And I think that'll really be the story that's told in time.
Okay. Now, obviously there's an aging, New Jersey, as the rest of the country, has an aging population. I'm curious what you see for the future, what's the industry going to look like, particularly let's talk about New Jersey first. And then nationally, what is the industry going to look like over the next few years as people get older, as they transition into, you know, sort of a different phase of their lives? How's it going to work?
Yeah. So we have an aging population, and I think what we're seeing is nursing homes are getting the sicker of the population than they used to, right? So what we're taking is the people who are aging and have need some help with activities of daily living, right? Might need some help showering or getting ready, things like that. Most of those people are being taken care of in the community at this point or being taken care of at home. Right. The people the nursing homes are caring for are people who have very severe care needs, right? They're sicker. They're more acute. It's almost like nursing homes are what hospitals used to look like 20 or 30 years ago, right? So the clinical needs that the nursing homes are taking care of are much more acute, much more severe than what you used to see. So I think that's what you're basically seeing. Nursing homes becoming much more clinical, much more for the people with serious comorbidities or healthcare conditions, and the healthier population among the seniors, you know, really more access to home and community-based services.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Before I let you go, I did want to ask about that, about new models, new ways of thinking about how to provide the kind of care that you're doing. Is there anything, can you tell us a little bit more about that and about what that looks like, about what care is going to look like in these kinds of facilities going forward? And in the community.
Yeah, like I said, I think the facilities themselves are getting more sophisticated. They're dealing with the level of patient that they did not used to deal with, right? So there's much more clinical expertise in the facilities now. There's much more treatment going on in the nursing home to try to keep people out of hospitals, right? We used to be in the nursing home. You know, you would live in the nursing home, you would get taken care of, but if you had any real healthcare needs, you would just get transferred to a hospital.
Okay.
That's not the case anymore. There's a lot more healthcare that is actually provided in the nursing homes and a lot more clinical care provided in the nursing homes. And again, I think home and community-based services in the communities are expanding, but it's not for the population you see in nursing homes. We need home and community-based services to take care of people. Mm-hmm. It's very important. And we need good, solid nursing home care to take care of the people who need that level of care. So you really need both to take care of people properly.
Right. I'm guessing that there are a lot of people who would prefer to stay at home, but can't. As you say, you get a sicker population in facilities. So
I think everybody would prefer to stay at home, right? I represent nursing homes, and we can all agree that everybody would prefer to stay at home, but some people can't. I mean, and those people need a place to go, and they need a place where they can get really good quality care. And that's where nursing homes come in.
Okay. Well, it's been fascinating talking to you. I hope you'll come back and give us an update on where things go. If we ever get recommendations from the task force, it'd be interesting to talk about those. So I hope you'll come back and give us an update.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and I'm always happy to do it.
Okay. Andy Aronson, CEO of the Healthcare Association of Jersey. Thank you very much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeff.
And thank you all for watching. Until next time, stay safe, everyone.